MacCast, Friday, April 15th, 2005. The MacCast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey Mac Geeks, it's time for the MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. All right, it is Friday, and actually I'm living a huge lie. I have to be honest with everybody, and this goes for just about every MacCast you ever listen to. Those of you who are frequent listeners probably notice that I post these early in the morning, and it is actually Saturday. And it is almost always Saturday when I record the Friday show, as well as it's usually Tuesday when I record the Monday show, and Thursday when I record the Wednesday show. So I'm living a big lie, and I just have to confess that out to everybody at the start of the show tonight, because I record these after midnight. It's very late or early in the morning, depending on how you want to look at it. But anyway, just needed to get that out of the way right up front. All right, there is tons of stuff going on today. Man, it's a huge news day. And most of it's all from Apple with updates. Many of you have probably already seen that OS 10.3.9 was released today. That had been rumored as coming out for a while, and I'm sure many of you had been reading about that. Well, it came out tonight, and the improvements include improvements in file sharing and directory services. That's to improve compatibility with mixed Macintosh and PC networks. The mail application, Safari, and the Sticky application have been updated to improve reliability, and there's added compatibility for third-party applications and devices, plus it includes all the previous standalone security updates. So if you hadn't picked up the security updates yet, 10.3.9 will include those. I have a couple of links in the show notes, one to more information on Apple's website about what 10.3.9 is all about. And then there's also information about the security update as well. Along with those updates, Apple has released updates to a number of the iLife applications. iDVD 5.0.1 was released today. That looks like it's addressing some issues with compatibility in terms of iPhoto and slideshows with iMovie HD. iMovie HD has received its second update. It's now at 5.0.2, and there's a long list here, so I'm just going to read them off to you. Audio in PAL widescreen, so I'm sure that'll be a welcome addition for those of you who are overseas. Sharing HDV to video camera tape, so exporting HDV to video camera tape. Synchronizing with HDV 720p content. Importing video from a DV video camera when using analog pass-through or recording live video. Compatibility with some analog to digital converter boxes, capturing video with digital 8 devices, placing titles over DV content, playing iPhoto slideshows that include protected content, and opening iMovie for projects that use speed adjusted clips. So those improvements to iMovie HD. iPhoto also received its second update. This one is to address iPhoto book layout issues and word searching. In addition to what I mentioned with iDVD, iDVD slideshows in terms of performance and editing, photo editing on G3 systems. All right, so that's all the software updates for iLife. And then finally, the last update from Apple today is an update to the iSight. So if you have one of those, you might want to go pick up that up because it's going to improve the audio performance on your iSight, and Apple's recommending that for anybody running macOS 10.3.7 or higher. All right, so on the last show, we talked about the rumor of new Power Mac G5s at the NAB show next week. And ThinkSecret is now reporting that from their, you know, quote-unquote confirmed sources, they have the technical specifications on the new Power Mac G5s, the new iMac systems, and the new eMacs. So I'm going to run down those for you. real quickly, because I think you are going to be very impressed. And if these rumors come true, they're going to see some great new Mac models coming out next week. So what's in store for the Power Mac G5? The new Power Mac G5 system is codenamed Q87. And they're going to increase the speeds all the way up to 2.7 gigahertz. They're going to have video cards being upgraded. And Apple is, of course, doubling the standard amount of RAM to 512, which is, that's just a welcome addition. I can't believe it's taken this long for that to happen. And then all the new super drives. Super drives are now going to offer dual layer support for DVD plus R. And then, of course, have DVD plus and dash RW, as well as CD read-writable compatibility. So here's the technical specifications as rumored by ThinkSecret for the new Power Mac G5 systems. A dual 2 GHz model featuring 512K of level 2 cache per processor, dual 1 GHz front side buses, 512 megabytes of PC3200 DDR RAM, which is, of course, upgradable to 4 gigabytes maximum, a 160 gigabyte serial ATA hard drive, and 128 megabytes of DDR SD RAM on an ATI Radeon 9600 video card. Next step up from that is going to be the dual 2.3 gigahertz. Again, 512K of level 2 cache, a dual 1.15 gigahertz front side bus, same amount of memory, a 250 gigabyte serial ATA hard drive, and the same video specifications, 120 megabyte ATI Radeon 9600 card. And then finally, at the top end, you're going to have a dual 2.7 gigahertz, same cache, this time a 1.35 gigahertz front side bus, and the rest of the specs same as the 2.3 gigahertz. So some really nice new systems. Now, the big rumor on top of all this is which new PowerPC processor are they going to have in there? And a lot of rumors are pointing to the new dual-core PowerPC 970MP processor from IBM. And if this turns out to be the processor in the new Power Mac G5s, the really cool thing is that that is going to provide a huge bump in performance, even more so than the increase in gigahertz speed. So hopefully that will be the new processor. Keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully these new machines are a reality, and hopefully we'll know by next week. But let's move on to the iMac G5. The iMac G5 is codenamed the Q45CD. And the iMac G5 is going to get bumped up to 2 gigahertz and also have its memory doubled to 512. And then it's going to have a new video card, also an ATI Radeon 9600. And then they're saying that all models are going to feature Bluetooth 2.0 and come pre-installed with Tiger and iLife 05, which is going to be really nice. So let's run down the three new models of iMacs that they're rumoring about. First one is a 17-inch. There's two 17-inch models and then a 20-inch model, of course. The first 17-inch model is going to be the 1.8 gigahertz. It's going to feature 512K of level 2 cache, 512 megabytes of memory, a 160 gigabyte serial ATA hard drive, and then a combo drive. Next step up, it's going to be exactly the same specifications, but with a 2 gigahertz processor and the new SuperDrive, which is the one that supports the dual layer. And then, of course, on the high end, you have your 20-inch, which is also going to feature a 2 gigahertz processor and a 250 gigabyte hard drive and the SuperDrive. So really nice Mac models. I like the size of those hard drives, nice big hard drives in there. So if you're thinking about a new iMac G5, you might want to wait till next week to see what happens. And then finally, the eMac had been faded. A lot of people were thinking because the new Mac Mini came out that maybe Apple was going to abandon the eMac, but of course they're not. That's a critical system for the educational environment. I think with the built-in monitor, it just makes it easy to have a machine to set up in a school environment, and you don't have to worry about a lot of extra peripherals or things like that. It doesn't take up a lot of space. So they're going to get also bumped up. Their code name is the Q86J, And they're going to continue to have 4 gigahertz processors, but they're going to be bumped up a little bit to a 1.25 gigahertz option and a 1.42 gigahertz option. So that's just like the Mac Minis. They're going to have new video cards again. It's going to be the ATI Radeon 9600, and this time with 64 megabytes of RAM instead of the 32 that they have now. And they're saying that's so that they can take advantage of Tiger's new Core Image technology. So your two eMac models are going to be the eMac 1.25 gigahertz G4 with 256 megabytes of RAM and an 80 gigabyte hard drive. And then you'll have the eMac 1.42 gigahertz. This one they're saying is going to have 512 and 160 gigabyte hard drive along with that new SuperDrive, which supports the dual layer. I'm not sure. It's interesting on this one. I'm not sure why they're saying the low end is only going to have still have 256 and the high end one 512. My opinion on that. I think all Macintoshes from this point forward should have 512 megabytes standard when they ship. But anyway, a lot of new Mac models. So lots of updates coming from Apple. I hope the rumors become a reality and we see those next week, because that would be really cool. So those of you who out there who are investors and maybe follow, you know, financials and things like that, probably know that the PC market these days is not the greatest market to be in. But Apple is proving to be successful in a down market. So I can just hardly imagine what's going to happen if there's an upturn in PC sales. Gartner came out today and said that Apple has moved up one position in the first quarter, from the sixth position to the fifth position, overtaking Toshiba in quarterly sales, PC sales. So great job for Apple there. They're saying that Apple was able to do this despite, you know, all of the downturn or sort of slowdown in the PC market. Apple's PC shipments actually increased 45.1% in the first quarter. Okay, that's huge, you guys. And just to put that in perspective, Dell's shipments for the first quarter only grew 8%, while HP's only grew 4%. So Apple's like, this is just huge. I mean, they're just blowing out the PCs in terms of their growth. And to further prove that, Apple now has 3.7% of the U.S. market share, which is up from the same time last year when they only had 2.6%. So that's like a 16% increase in a year. And what I find even more interesting about this report is they're saying the growth was mostly attributed to iMac and PowerBook shipments. So it seems like we haven't even factored in the Mac Mini yet. So the halo effect is working. People who are buying iPods are now considering Macs. Just based on the listenership of this show, I know we have a lot of PC users who are thinking about switching and haven't made the leap yet, and a lot of new listeners. So I thank you for coming over, and thank you for helping make these numbers happen. It's going to be great for Apple. We are in for just a fun year. It's going to be a fun year to be a Mac user, and I'm really looking forward to it and excited about it. So next I want to talk about a story that seems to be kind of resurfacing on the net. I think we covered it in one of the early Mac casts, but that was Apple's choice to rename, I guess it's really not a choice. If you look at OS X Tiger, Apple has renamed Rendezvous, which is their zero configuration networking that they have built into OS X, and it's now going to be called Bonjour. And you know, there's my nice little French accent, Bonjour. And there's the reason they're doing this, and we covered this, like I said, was that they had a lawsuit in 2003 by Tibco Software, and as part of the settlement, they had to rename Rendezvous, and so they're just getting around to that with this release. So that's the reason why, in case you were wondering. Apple continues to push forward with their retail stores, and they are now in Florida going to open their 8th retail store. It's going to open on Saturday, April 23rd at 10 a.m., and it's going to be at the Gardens Mall in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. So if you're somewhere near there in Florida, it's really fun to go to these store openings. I went to the Fashion Valley one here in San Diego, as well as the UTC opening, and it's just a lot of fun. You can meet a lot of great Mac enthusiasts. Just another extension of the great community that the Macintosh, you know, that you join when you become a Macintosh user. Now, that said, I think there's one quote-unquote Mac fan that I think I want to kick out of the club today. This one is just unbelievable. I saw this online, and I just, my mouth dropped open, basically. There is a writer, a guy who does the Win Supersite, Paul Thoreau, who claims to be a self-confessed Mac fan, okay? But he put out an article today saying that OS X Tiger is a worthy competitor to XP, but it's only a minor OS release. And he was kind of dogging on Tiger, saying, you know, it was overpriced and it would be, you know, what Windows users just call a maintenance update. And I don't understand that statement at all. Here's a direct quote. He says, Tiger may lack some of the niceties that make Windows more appealing to new users. Okay, I don't get that. If someone can explain that to me, that would be great. Windows is more appealing to new users than Macintosh and OS X? I'm just not buying it at all. I mean, I use Windows. Windows XP is probably the best version of Windows out there, but it still can't touch OS X. That's just, for my money, it can't touch OS X. And Tiger has over 200 new features. So to say that it's just a minor upgrade, it just doesn't make sense. I don't know what this guy's thinking. It's ridiculous. So can you tell I'm a little irate by this thing? Anyway, I have a link to his website and to his article where he makes these statements on the in the show notes. So head over to maccast.com if you want to take a look and read what this guy has to say. All I can say is he's going to get flamed on his website, I'm sure, by the Mac community. So, and probably rightfully so. So if you're in education, please send me an email. I want to know if you got one of these invites. Apple is offering two educational customers, basically teachers and administrators, a free evaluation copy of Tiger. And there's a special link. I have the link in the show notes. You have to register for this thing, and it's by invite only. But let me know if you're able to pick up one of these free evaluation copies of Tiger. If you got that invitation, I'd be really interested to hear about it. Okay, I think that's the news. Big sigh of relief. Okay, that was just a lot of stuff to cover, and I think we did it in about 17 minutes, so not too bad. Okay, who's ready for the next installment from Ara on scanning 35mm negatives and slides? I certainly am. Ara's doing a great job. This is a great series. It's being very well received by you out there. So those of you who have made nice comments to Ara, both he and I appreciate them. I'm glad you guys are enjoying this. Maybe he will come back and do another little series for us. I think he's already sent me an email and recommended maybe a series on converting your VHS tapes to DVDs. But I'll have to get back to him on that one. I think with the positive feedback you guys have provided, we can convince him to come back and do that for us. But he does do his own podcast. He has his own show, so please check that out. It's on HDTV, and you can find it at htguys.com. With that, here's part three of Scanning 35mm Negatives and Slides by Ara.
Hi, MacCast listeners. This is Ara Derderian from Mission Viejo, California, and this is the third of a four-part series on how to scan your 35mm negatives and slides. Okay, so you've bought a cool scanner, you've cleaned your negatives, you've scanned them, you've added your image correction, and the results are still not perfect. In most cases, your images will be quite acceptable, but when they're not, you have some options. I just want to say that I'm not a Photoshop expert, and there are plenty of Photoshop tutorials online, and they'll do a much better job explaining the power of this tool than I can. There's also some links at maccast.com for these online tutorials. This discussion is just to show that with a little post-processing, your images can go from good to great. The remaining discussion is 100% applicable to Photoshop and Photoshop Elements, and a lot of the stuff applies to GIMP. And GIMP is an open source image editing application. I have more information about GIMP at maccast.com. The most powerful tool you have is the Healing Brush. It looks like a Band-Aid in the tool window, and it really works like magic. You select the area that you want to fix, and you click, and it's fixed. It takes a little practice, but once you have it down, it'll be your favorite tool in the toolbox. And basically, if you want, you can take a image that you've scanned, make a copy of it, and then just play around with it so you don't have to worry about destroying your original. And once you've got it down, you know, you'll just see incredible results. GIMP does not have this feature. Both Photoshop and GIMP have a clone tool, and this is not exactly like the Healing Brush, where the Healing Brush eliminates imperfections and leaves the underlying pixels intact. The cloning brush will sample an area you select and copy it exactly into the target area. And this is used basically for building up pieces of the image that are not there or you want to cover over. The other processing I like to do to my images after I've scanned them is using the auto adjustments. I try them all to see how the results are. If the image looks better, then I leave the adjustment intact. If it looks worse, I just undo the adjustment. I know it's not too scientific, but it works really great. The auto adjustments are auto level, auto contrast, and auto color. Both Photoshop and Photoshop Elements support these. GIMP, I was able to find auto levels. I couldn't find auto contrast and auto color, but I'm sure there are some filters or plugins that you can download online that do the same thing. Then there are two filters that I use quite often, dust and scratch removal and sharpen. Because my scanner does dust and scratch removal in software, I don't use it all the time. If there are too many scratches to remove individually with the Healing Brush, I'll just apply the dust and scratch filter to the whole image. The cool thing about this feature is that you can change the amount of dust removal and preview it before you commit to it. Removing dust and scratches this way will reduce the quality of the image, so you don't want to go overboard with that. After I remove the scratches, I'll apply a sharpen filter to reduce some of the softness that the dust filter left us with. Now, once the images are ready, go ahead and save it. I save images as JPEG with the least amount of compression. At this point, you'll have a very large file, anywhere from 5 to 30 megabytes. It's much too big to email or put it online. So I copy the image that I want to email or post. Then I resize them down to 640 by 480 or 800 by 600 and then save them with a little bit more compression to reduce the size of the file. Then I'll basically just email them to friends or put them on my website. On the final installment, we'll discuss the fun things you can do with your images, and I'll provide a little bit of more discussion on how resolution applies to print size. See you next time.
Thanks, Ara. That is just a great series. There is a full text follow-up. Ara has done a written follow-up to all of these reports. You can get them at maccast.com. Just look for special report on scanning and click the link to the full article with links to the items that Ara mentioned. So now I want to mention an email I got from a listener, Richard. He found an interesting article online. It's actually in French, so if you're French and want to do a translation for us, that would be great. But the key thing to look for here is it's on Tiger benchmarks. So if you're wondering about how your system compares running OS 10.3.8 versus the new 10.4, they have a little chart up there. And it's a little bit hard to read, but basically it shows that most systems are going to benefit from the new performance enhancements to Tiger. So even though it's a new operating system, you may think that it requires more processor or more memory or something like that. On a lot of the more modern systems, you're actually going to get a little bit of a performance boost when you upgrade to OS X Tiger. So that's a nice little thing to take a look at. I have a link from the show notes. It's on a website called Mac Touch, not to be confused with Mac In Touch. This is Mac Touch, M-A-C-T-O-U-C-H, and it's a French website. So you might want to check that out. So we all think different, and we know that the Macintosh is one of the most creative, innovative computing platforms available on the market today, but it seems like there's someone else who shares our thought process who you might not think of.
Well, to create a new standard, it takes something that's not just a little bit different. It takes something that's really new and really captures people's imagination. And the Macintosh, of all the machines I've ever seen, is the only one that meets that standard.
Okay, For those of you who might not recognize that voice, that is Bill Gates, believe it or not. So even Bill Gates seems to think that the Macintosh is a really great platform, or at least he did at one point. That clip was sent to us by MacCast listener Nate, and I thank him for that. It was actually a little QuickTime movie, and I pulled the audio from it to share from you tonight. But so I'm going to leave you with that. Please visit the website, maccast.com. Check out the forums, or forum.maccast.com. There's a lot of activity going on there. A lot of people are getting a lot of help and answering questions and just having really great Mac conversation that you might want to check out. You can send me email at maccast@gmail.com and call the listener hotline 206-222-2788 if you want to leave an audio comment. I thank everybody for supporting this show. It is really doing well and taking off, and I think it's just a really great example of what I talk about. When you buy a Macintosh computer, you really join a really great community of people that help and support each other, and I thank you all for that. All right, music tonight is from GarageBand.com. I am still looking for original music from MacCast listeners, so if you have a band or you've recorded a song, please send it to me. I'd love to play it and plug your show, your band, your venue, whatever you want. But tonight I've got something from over on GarageBand.com. It's from a band called Beta Blocka, and the track is called Scarred, The Difference Between. I hope you enjoy it, and I will see you all next time.
It's absurd to think you know the difference between your wars and your religion. A decision left to you, to me. You take apart the things you know they told you when you're young. You never made your mind. Please tell me now you know the difference between these wars and your religion. A decision left to you, not me, it's not me. You take apart the things you know they told you when you're young. You never. If you're far.